1 Peter 4:12 through 13 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." I want to preach to you on this subject today. Think it not strange. And you may be seated. The word strange is very familiar, and it's used in a variety of situations. For something to be considered strange, it is unusual, it is surprising, unsettling. It's something that's hard to understand. For example, the first time I was introduced to sushi, my first response was that the practice of eating raw fish was certainly strange. And some of you here are still of that opinion today. But over time, it became familiar, something that I'm quite fond of. But perhaps you've used that word strange to politely describe someone whose actions and behavior were shocking or hard to comprehend. Further defined, something is strange because it was not previously visited, seen, or encountered. It's something that is unfamiliar or alien to you. When I was 15 years old, I had the opportunity to go on a missions trip with my father to the country of Ecuador in South America. As I was immersed in that foreign country, we made the decision to venture out one day, and we came across an open-air market. I received a text today. Some of you may have seen open-air markets in other foreign countries, but for me, boy, that was a mistake, because I came across a variety of very strange foods and meats that were sitting out in the hot sun, most with clouds of swarming flies around and on them, which was pretty startling and quite repulsive to me. And much to my surprise, that night at dinner, I had flashbacks to the market when a big bowl of chicken noodle soup came out to the table with a unslightly chicken leg and bone coming up out of the soup. Not only did that come across as strange to me, but it was a bit sickening. And as a result, I missed the next day of sightseeing, to say the least. On the other hand, when something is expected or familiar, it's no longer considered strange. It's no longer considered alien, but is now normal and welcome. I turned 15 on that trip to Ecuador, and yes, Dad, it was my 15th birthday. We've disputed how old I was on that trip until a few years later, and I produced the evidence, a Bible that was signed and dated on that trip. And Dad's still astonished that the person who gave me that Bible put the wrong date in it. But if you know my dad, on my 15th birthday, we went into the city, and surprisingly there, we found a TGI Fridays. And thank you, God. And there I could finally get something that was familiar for that birthday dinner, and I could pass on the sickening and the strange. Now, it is fair to say that as of late, life has been far from normal, which has caused many to say that we are living in strange times. But no matter how unexpected, no matter how unfamiliar trials and difficulties may be, the reality is they are a part of life. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't wish for or hope to experience hardships. I don't look forward to trials of life. But when difficult times do come, they can absolutely turn our worlds upside down. And maybe you're here today and you're experiencing a bit of your own trial. Maybe it's something related to COVID. Maybe Your trial revolves around the turmoil that our country is currently in. Maybe your trial is that phone call from the doctor, the unexpected news of an illness, or your job about the news of your loss of job. Maybe your trial is coming in the form of an unwanted addiction, or maybe it's a family or a marital problem that could have seemingly come out of nowhere, but now it has absolutely crushed your spirit. Trials have a way of catching you off guard and absolutely wrecking your life and messing you up and throwing you off of your spiritual and mental game. Why? Because many times those seasons and those trials are unexpected. They are unfamiliar in our lives. It's unfamiliar territory. Those trials are unwanted and sometimes downright painful. But do you know what the Word of God says concerning your fiery trial? Think it not strange. And you may be thinking, are you serious, God? How could I not think that this is strange? But this is what the Lord has said concerning trials. And this is what I feel the Lord laid on my heart to share with you today. The most compelling reason why you should not think that the fiery trial is strange is because God clearly forewarned us of them in His Word. Now I pray, and I know we pray and hope for the best in life, but a pain-free, a stress-free, trial-free life was not that expectation that was set before the children of God. Remember the initial call of all disciples, of all followers of Jesus Christ in Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And we're so often reminded that the cross has no connotation of peace or pleasure. Carrying your cross has no implication of an easy life. What else does the Bible has it foretold about trials and tribulations? To be really encouraging today. John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. But in this world, the real world that we all live in, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In Romans 12:12, we're told to be rejoicing in hope, but patient in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer. And in fact, prior to our opening text, Peter, he opened up his epistle with the mention of trials from the very beginning. 1 Peter 1:6, he says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead." And everybody say, yippee. Oh, wait. "Even though you must endure many trials for a little while." Like, oh, what? But now I thank the Lord. I do. I thank the Lord for the wisdom and the warnings of His Word. And I'm thankful that it has informed the church and helped us not be surprised that trials are to come. So let us not be taken back, church, when difficulties come. We need to heed the word of the Lord, to take notice and to take heart what God is speaking to us today. It's so important that we are not naive about the trials that we will endure in life. Because if we are not careful, when our worlds get turned upside down, we can make the mistake of thinking God has abandoned us. We can think that God is punishing us and pouring out pain in our lives. And if we're not careful, when trials come, we can become hurt, we can become bitter, we can become angry and embrace fear and abandon our faith. So yes, you may be in a trial, but remember this, Jesus said they would come. But He also said, thank God, that He would never leave you or forsake you. He said in Psalms 23, yes, you're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. There's going to be trials in your life. But he said, fear no evil. He said his rod and his staff would comfort you. And guess what? Your fiery trial, thank the Lord, is not strange to God. As surprised as you are and I am about what's happened this year, as surprised as you are with what's happening in your life, in your family, in your marriage, guess what? The good news is God is not surprised. God is not taking back. God was not in the dark when your trial began. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows when it will start. He knows it will end. And he is an absolute control. And once again, I'm so thankful he took the time to let us know that they would take place. So let us not act so surprised when they do. Let us think it not strange. Now, sincerely, I ask the church, please don't misunderstand me today, because God knows I'm not trying to belittle anyone's situation. I know life is hard. I know trials in your life are real and they are tough. I know you may feel down and in the valley, and my heart aches. And when I hear of the great difficulties that so many of our members go through and they endure in this life, I grieve with you and have many times before in times of tragic loss in our church. I've interceded and joined with you in prayer in times of need. But what I feel led to share today is this message from Peter that the Lord laid on my heart. And that is to give us some perspective today, some insight about the trials of our lives. I know you're experiencing pain, but I ask that you would sincerely talk to the Lord to change your perspective about it today. You may have been praying and waiting on a miracle, but maybe God is waiting for you to have a change of mindset towards your trial. Think it not strange. And church, I feel so strongly how important it is that we put ourselves in a position of preparedness concerning our trials. It's so important that we have an awareness about them. But let's not get beat at something that the Word of God tells the church where we should be at our best. I want to add that it's not so much about your unique trial. It's your response to the trial that makes the difference. Commentator Matthew Henry said, the work of a Christian is twofold. First, it's doing the will of God. And we don't mind doing the will of God. We don't mind serving Him when life is going well. But the second part of that is that we are to suffer His pleasure. He said that though they be sharp and fiery, they are designed only to try, not to ruin. To try their sincerity, their strength, their patience, and trust in God. In church, doing the will of God isn't hard when there's no suffering, but the true test of our faith and of the church is doing His will while suffering and while going through a fiery trial. But Lord, when that time comes, help us to think it not strange. It makes a big difference when somebody writes and when they speak, and when they do it out of experience. A 20-year-old can speak to you during a trial and say, you know what, brother, you can make it. And yes, that can be very encouraging. But it doesn't have the same weight as when an elder who has been through things, who has suffered some fiery trials of their own, and they turn to you and say, brother, you can make it. Sister, you can get through this. That's why I have so much appreciation for the seasoned saints of this church that have a lifetime experience of what Peter is trying to do. I thank God for our precious elders of Atlanta West, and I pray that we value them more than ever. No knowing that through this life, they've encountered trials. They've endured the fiery trials of life, and they have exemplified a great depth of faith and commitment to God. So I want to say thank you to the elders for that example of your life that is shown by enduring some trials and that you're still faithfully serving the Lord. Amen? Now the words of our elders should carry the weight of experience, and so should the words of the writer of our text, Peter, because he also endured some fiery trials. Peter traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years. He attempted to walk on water and did for a bit in the storm. He witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus. He washed Jesus' feet at the Last Supper. And Peter felt the immense pressure and prospect of persecution while he sat around a literal fire. And there he didn't pass the test of his trial. He failed Jesus by denying him 3 times. Peter then saw his Savior die. But then he saw the empty tomb and the resurrected Jesus. And after Jesus' ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Peter became the leader of the church at Jerusalem. But Peter continued to face fiery trials. Peter was mocked. Peter was arrested in Acts 4. Peter was arrested in Acts 12. But still, Peter, in the midst of trial, did work and missionary work and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So 1 Peter 4:12 was not written by the rookie disciple who had just got done denying Jesus Christ. He was speaking as a seasoned saint, an apostle who had endured some fiery trials. Our text was written by the elder who is reflecting back on his life and the words that Jesus was spoken. He was not talking about theory, but the experience of life under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He learned this firsthand about the message I'm preaching you today concerning the fiery trial in your lives, to think it not strange. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It's the opening line of a book, Tale of Two Cities, written by Charles Dickens. The full phrase is this: it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief, it was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. In this story, Charles Dickens, he speaks of radical opposites that are taking place in the same world at the same time across the English Channel, France and the United Kingdom respectively. And he tells a story of contrast and comparisons. And so far today, I've been talking about the worst of times concerning the fiery trials of life. But Peter continued to explain that there is a contrasting view that we must see in the middle of a fiery trial. There is also such a thing as the best of times when it comes to fiery trials. Yes, 1 Peter 4:12, Peter warned of that severe persecution, that it was close at hand. But first, he wanted them to think it was not strange. But then he encouraged them to rejoice. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Paul, he shared similar sentiments in Colossians 1:24. He said, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. James also shed some light on suffering in James 1:2-3. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, we're not supposed to rejoice because we enjoy trials. If you do, you might be a little bit sick and twisted if you just enjoy the trials of life. But we rejoice knowing that God is at work within us as we go through the trials. Amen? So thank you, Jesus, not for the trial, but what is being produced in me. I want to share two specific reasons of why we can rejoice in the fiery trials. And the first reason that we have to rejoice is knowing that God will respond. Thank you, God, that He responds when we call to Him in the middle of the trial. 2 Corinthians 9 through 10, verse 12, chapter 12, 9 through 10. And He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness and trial. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, in the middle of that trial, then I am strong." We can rejoice, church, because we know that Jesus Christ will comfort us and be with us through every trial of life. You may be here today and so overwhelmed and so down and out that all you can do in your life is see the trial. You may be stuck and struggling in your struggle, but if you can just lift up your eyes from your pit of despair, you will find a reason to rejoice, because Jesus promise that in the middle of your trial that He would never leave you and He would never forsake you. He told us that He would be our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And let us not forget about the promise that Peter himself preached about on the day of Pentecost. We can rejoice because we've been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We have been endued with power from on high. And when we're in our turmoil and we're in our trial, John 14, 26 reminds us that that power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, He is a strength and it is a comforter to you. As one commentator said concerning the fiery trials of 1 Peter 4, he said, "The man who hath the Spirit of God resting upon him cannot be miserable. Let his afflictions be so great." I'm so thankful for the promises of God that remind us that no matter what comes against us, we can rejoice. Because if God is for us, amen, who can be against us? When our trials cause us to fall, with the help of God, we shall arise. John 16, 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I was reminded of the old song about fiery trials through the fire, which says, "He never promised that the cross would not get heavy." That's what we just read about. "And the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting. But He said that His help would always come in time." So just remember, church, when you're standing in the trial, in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, "Give in," what are the words? Just hold on. Our Lord, thank God, will show up and He will take you through the fire again. If you believe that, can you take a moment and rejoice and thank God that in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of the darkest times of your life, a supernatural strength and comfort and peace will fill your heart and your life. Lord, we love You and we thank You, Jesus, for Your strength, God. Amen. We can rejoice because when we call out to Him, He hears our cry and He will respond. He'll be with us in our trial, and he will see us through. I want to look back at our opening text for the second reason of why we can rejoice. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Now, I know many of you wouldn't want a good trial to go to waste, right? We make sure that we put it to good use, especially on social media. But remember, there is a purpose behind the trial. Everybody can serve God when things are good. But the true testing of our faith is if we can rejoice when things are bad. The trial is meant to try you. The trial is meant to test you. But if you pass that test with your faith intact, if you go through trying times trusting the Lord, you will be rewarded and blessed by God. That is the second reason why we can rejoice, and that is because of the reward. 1 Peter 4:13 continues, says, "But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may also be glad with exceeding joy." Through our trials, we prove to Jesus Christ our love, our commitment, and our loyalty and our faith in him. And because he loves us so much, he in turn rewards us for our faithfulness. Matthew 5:11-12 says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." And verse 12, here it is, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Suffering for Christ's sake should cause rejoicing, because through our suffering, we identify further with Jesus Christ, because Jesus has suffered a great trial on our behalf. Hebrews 12:2 reminds us of what he endured on the cross, and we can rejoice. We can rejoice because through our sufferings, we fellowship with him. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. We can rejoice because through our sufferings, we are glorified with him. Romans 8:17 says, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." 2 Thessalonians 1:3 through 5 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith, it grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds towards each other." That's what Brother Jerry just preached and ministered on Wednesday night, loving and encouraging one another. But verse 4, "so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." And here is the reward again in verse 5, "which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you who face trial, you who rejoice in trial, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer." When we have been tested and tried, we can rejoice, for we will be found worthy in the sight of the Lord. I believe today that God is speaking and calling to someone today about the trials of life, to face them differently than you have before. That God is calling somebody to face uncertainty and trials with an attitude that is renewed, that says, "Now I will think it not strange." Before, there may have been sorrow and sadness and fear, but now there is faith, and I will think the trial not strange. Many people want God to respond and reward them. I do. We want a blessed life and overcoming life, but they don't want to endure the suffering and the shame. They want to go through the trial. They don't want to go through the tough times, but you can't have one without the other. I promise you, the great cloud of witnesses, those heroes of faith, they knew how to walk with faith and rejoice in their fiery trials. The fiery trials are why they are the heroes of faith. And for perspective's sake and encouragement's sake, I want to read Hebrews 11:33. It says, by faith, these people, they were overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouth of lions. They quenched the flames of fire and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle, strong in the trial, and they put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back from the death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing the skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. And let's not forget Peter. In John 21:19, Jesus told Peter that the trials in his life would not be uncommon. And Jesus spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. Peter knew trials to come. He knew persecution was coming. We're told by tradition, not scripture, that Peter died as a martyr's death on the cross, crucified upside down. So I pray today, God help us to think it not strange, the fiery trials in our lives. But God, help us today to rejoice. Earlier I referenced 1 Peter 1:6, says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. But verse 7 goes on to say, these trials, they're going to show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is more, far more precious than mere gold. So church, when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise. It will bring you much glory and honor when the day Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. As the worship team returns, we can all stand. But I believe today that the Lord is speaking to us, that the Lord is helping somebody today. Because I believe in the name of Jesus that there is a shifting in somebody's spirit, that there be a change in somebody's perspective about the trial and the turmoil that you may find yourself in right now, or the trial that is to come. I believe the Lord is ministering and working on somebody's attitudes and outlooks of life. As we learn to embrace the fiery trials and learn to rejoice in the midst of them, I believe that God Almighty is going to respond to you today, respond to your life, and bring reward. I believe that He will release power today, liberty, peace, comfort, provision, and blessing in your life. So right now, concerning the fiery trials of your life, think it not strange. But let's take a moment with respect with perspective, with an understanding of God's word, and rejoice.